the 20th chapter of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. And we want to begin our reading at verse 4, Revelation 20. While you're turning, may I just simply say it's nice to be with you again here in the ministry of the Word of God. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, as we would expound this passage today, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will indeed be acceptable in thy sight. We ask, O God, that thou wilt be glorified through the ministry of the word, and glorify thy Son in our midst, and the great salvation that he's provided for guilty sinners. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth of the coming of the Lord is called in the Word of God that blessed hope. It's one of those glorious truths that always causes the heart of the child of God to rejoice. The blessed hope. When Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession. That blessed hope. And occasionally at the Lord's Supper, a hymn in our hymn book that we used to sing, here we are, in body spent, absent from him with we roam. Each day we pitch our moving tent, one day nearer home. And the coming of the Lord is as sure as the day's sunrise. The Lord is coming again. Now, coupled with the truth of the coming of the Lord is the resurrection of the bodies of the saints of God, they who died in Christ. The bodies that have been laid in the grave are united to Christ. When we were saved, we were united to him, spirit, soul, and body. Physical death, however, comes into play many times in the lives of God's people. And the spirit and the soul are separated from the body. But the Word of God speaks of the body as being dead in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And when our Lord returns, there's going to be the resurrection of the body. And you and I are going to have a body like unto his own glorious body. And that's what this text in Revelation 20, the early part of the chapter, deals with. Now today we want to examine what the Bible calls the first resurrection. There are many times that I've attended funerals, and preachers, when they read out of their book, they at the graveside, they talk about something I can't find in my Bible. They talk about a general resurrection, awaiting the general resurrection. And those who are not premillennial in doctrine, by premillennial we mean the Lord coming for his people before the millennial reign of the Lord. That millennial means 1,000 years. That 1,000 years that he's spoken of here in Revelation chapter 20. Many who do not believe that and are not premillennial, they are amillennial. Revelation chapter 20 is a real problem to them. They're the ones who usually speak of the general resurrection, and they're the ones who usually speak of a general judgment, etc., etc. But the Word of God speaks in this chapter, and we read about it, of two particular resurrections. It speaks of the first resurrection, and a first implies a second. But the second resurrection is called in this chapter the second death, because they who died out of Christ are also going to be raised, and they're going to be raised to stand and be judged before God and to be dismissed from his presence forever in a place called hell. And the Word of God says in the last verse of Revelation 20, and whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to talk about three privileges that the first resurrection gives to the child of God. Three blessed privileges. And then I want to conclude with three terrible awakenings that await those who die in their sins. And oh, my friend, if you've never been saved, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. And these three terrible awakenings await you in that day. And our purpose this morning is the proclamation of the gospel, the good news that Christ died in order that you never stand before him at the judgment of the great white throne and be cast into the lake of fire. God has made full provision through the death of his Son for poor sinners to be saved. And we invite you today to trust the Savior. And we invite you to do it today, because God gives you no guarantee of tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Usually when I come here, I'm accused of presenting a dog story, you know. Always talk about a dog somewhere along the line in the message. Well, today I just want to say this about, when we talk about being saved today, I'm going to talk about, give you a frog story. Have to change a little bit once in a while, you see. Yeah, a frog story. There's a place in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, that's the best place that you can go to eat. It's a Mennonite restaurant. And it's in the northern part of the hard, cold district of Pennsylvania, north of Reading, about 35 miles in the mountains. My wife and I were there not too long ago, and inside the door, as soon as you get in this restaurant, in the little vestibule, there's a big tract rack with gospel tracts on it. And the man who operates the restaurant's a believer. And I picked up a gospel tract called One More Night with the Frogs. Maybe I told you this before. And it's about Pharaoh when God was plaguing Egypt. And the frogs were everywhere, in the kneading troughs, in the bed. I don't want to sleep with the frogs, but they were in the beds. They were everywhere. And Pharaoh entreated Moses, and he said, entreat the Lord that he'd be rid us of the frogs. And Moses said, when should he do it? He said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's how people act many times toward God. I'd like to be saved. When? Well, tomorrow. God gives no one a guarantee of tomorrow. I looked for that tract. I wanted to get a few of them, and we were there just a few weeks ago. And they were all gone. And there were a whole new group of tracts in the tract rack and good ones. I picked a number of them out, and while we were eating, the waitress came and to see if we wanted any dessert. And I wouldn't leave that place without getting dessert. But anyway, I said to her, by the way, did you ever read any of these gospel tracts that are in the vestibule? She said, I never knew they were there. I said, well, how come? She said, I work here. I come through the back door. I don't come in the front door. Well, I made sure she got one of their tracts. I left a tip in it in order that she picks it up. And I said, be sure to read this tract, for it clearly presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being concerned for the souls of men is very, very important. Now, the first thing I want to do, and the first blessing that the first resurrection holds for the child of God, is the priority of the first resurrection. When you go through the scriptures, and there are certain passages, I'm thinking of the 37th Psalm, the 73rd Psalm, where the child of God is crying out to God because of the blessing of the wicked. The blessings that God seems to have for the wicked. It's the wicked who prosper in this world. And the psalmist puts his complaint before God as to why do the godly prosper. And he looks at him, he's spread out like a green bay tree. No matter what he does, he seems to prosper. And here are the children of God. They have a struggle. They have a struggle in life. They even have a struggle when it comes time to die. Why is it that the child of God, the children of God, have such a difficult time, and the wicked just seem to glide through this world? And many times, the people of God look with envy upon the ungodly. And you see, the answer is found here in Revelation 20. After this life, the child of God is the one with the priorities, all the priorities. And let me just say something quickly, lest I forget it. I would rather be a failure in that which is sure to succeed than to be a success in that which is sure to fail. This world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And every child of God is a failure. Every one of us are. For the scripture says when we have done everything that we were told to do, we must confess we are unprofitable servants. But oh, just wait, friends. There's a day coming when we're going to have the priority. We're going to be number one, for the saints of God belong to the first resurrection of whom it is written, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The word of God says, the saints shall rise first. I want you to go through the scriptures with me this morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15, I believe there is an order, a chronological order in 1 Corinthians 15 concerning the resurrection. Keep in mind, the scripture says, the saints, the children of God, the despised of this world, are going to rise first. We shall rise first. Now, notice verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. That's the blessed hope of the child of God. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 24, we notice that there has been an interval of almost 2,000 years between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of his people. And they who say there's no such thing as two resurrections, a first and then the second known as the second death. Why? Since there is between the resurrection of Christ and the first resurrection by now, it's almost 2,000 years. Why not 1,000 years between the first resurrection and the end? It doesn't make sense to try to deny what is plainly taught here in Revelation chapter 20. But the first resurrection is a particular and exclusive resurrection. It's for those that are Christ's. I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to dwell on this matter of a particular resurrection for a moment. Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, the apostle Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Well, if all men are going to be raised generally, why should Paul say, "I want to attain that resurrection of the dead"? He's speaking of a particular resurrection, a resurrection of believers only, spoken of in Revelation 20 as the first. Turn with me to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. And we want to read a few verses. In Luke 20, you remember the Sadducees come to the Lord, and they give him that story of using the law of Moses, that if a man died and left no posterity, his brother should marry the widow of the dead man. And here's a woman who had seven husbands, seven brothers that way, and none of them left any children. Now in the resurrection, to whom will this woman belong? Which one of the brothers? For all seven were married to her. And they thought they had the Lord in the corner. But our Lord answers their question in verses 35 and 36. He says in particular in verse 35, "But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world," he's speaking of those that are his own, "that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Here we have an expression that is found only of the children of God. And it's found again, not in the exact way, but in Revelation 20. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Here they're called the children of the resurrection. And they are a particular group. Look back at chapter 14 of Luke and verse 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 14. Here our Lord is giving instructions as to who you should invite for dinner. And and he says in verse 13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Here our Lord speaks of a particular resurrection of the just. And the just person in Scripture is a person who is righteous. A just person is a saved person. A saved person is a justified person, for he has been declared righteous by God. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 6 and verse 37, our Lord says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. Now notice verse 40. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here's the resurrection of God's people. He's speaking of those who are brought to Christ in salvation. Notice verse 54, where he says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, our Lord speaks four times in this passage of his own believing people, and he promises to raise them up at the last day. And that's what he's brought to our attention in that passage in Revelation chapter 20. But I want you to look at one more passage with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Hebrews 11 verse 35. Where we read this. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. If there is no distinction, friends, between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, why is it called a better resurrection here? You see, this passage distinguishes between those who belong to the Lord. Throughout the Scriptures, you have this distinction. Those who are Christ's and they who are not. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God said, I make a distinction between those that are mine and those that are not. A dog will not even wag it or bark at you when you leave Egypt. You're my people. That's what God said. My friends, we belong to the Lord, and because we do, by divine grace, there is a priority in the resurrection. We may not be much today, but I'd rather be a failure in that which is sure to succeed than to be a success in that which is sure to fail. And the world has nothing that I want to ape after, that I want. It has nothing for me, but I have one who has everything for me, and it awaits me at the resurrection of the just. Where do you stand today? See, there's a priority in the resurrection, but there's a second blessed privilege in Revelation 20. It says, on them the second death hath no power. Think of it. That death which is going to come upon the ungodly in that day. That death. It's going to come upon them without exception. No one will escape. That death will never touch the righteous. It cannot touch them. 1 John chapter 3 says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The damnation of the ungodly shall have no power on those who rise at the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. You see, the saints of God are not guilty of sin. The saints of God are not guilty of sin. Now they sinned just like everybody else did. They were children of wrath just like everybody else. But their sins have been lifted from them and placed on the substitute who died in their place at Calvary's cross. And that's why the scripture says, blessed and holy is he who hath part in the first resurrection. Christ bore the judgment of our sins at Calvary. We sing sometimes at the Lord's Supper, hymn number 120 in our hymn books, the worship hymn book, the second stanza. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. And the saints of God are not only stand before God not guilty, but we are stand there dressed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And dressed in the righteousness of Christ, you and I could walk through the flames of hell and never be scorched. For the second death hath no power on us. Just as the three Hebrew children could be in the midst of Nebuchadnezzar's fire, heated seven times hotter than ever before, and not be burned. So great is the grace of our God toward us. Beloved, when we rise again in that day, we're going to be free from all corruption. We're going to have no more evil tendencies whatsoever. Old Adam will be left behind, and we're going to stand there in all the blessings of the last Adam, the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ the Lord. On such, the second death hath no power. What a privilege! First of all, priority. Then the second death hath no power. But there's a third. The scripture in our text says, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, we should expect the coming of the Lord at any time. I believe in the imminent return of our blessed Lord. We should be like the wise virgins, our lamps trimmed, filled with oil, waiting to go in at the wedding feast when he returns. That's what should characterize our lives. But our text here promises a reign. A reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I want to say this and say it emphatically. I believe that this reign is going to be on the earth. A literal earthly reign of 1,000 years. Now, you say, why do you believe it? I believe it because of what's written in the 37th Psalm in the 10th verse. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Yes. And they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And when we ask that question, and by the way, that's in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We have to ask three quick questions. When, where, how? Tell me, what part of the earth do the meek inherit now? What did the meek inherit so far? The flames of being burned at the stake? Being not wanted? Being abused by the world? No, the meek have not yet inherited the earth, friends. But it's coming. We shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. And I love that verse in Revelation chapter 5, where we have the redeemed of the Lord. Look back with me for just a moment. At Revelation chapter 5, where we have the great redemption that's in him. Let us notice verses 9 and 10, where we have the redeemed standing before God. And we read, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that a glorious promise? You see, priority in the resurrection. The second death has no power over the child of God. And more than that, we're going to reign with him 1,000 years as a kingdom of priests. Now we want to deal with the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter. There are three woes. Three absolute woes concerning those who are out of Christ. First of all, the soul and the body of the sinner will be united when he's raised from the dead. The body and the soul of the sinner were united in sin. And just as they were united in sin, they're going to be united in bearing the punishment of sin. The Word of God warns us, beware not of him who is able to destroy the body. Beware of him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Cast body and soul into hell. And what we have in Revelation 20 at the end is the body of the lost united with a soul. And eternally to be separated in the fires of a lost eternity. That is the first woe. The second woe is the resurrection called the second death in Revelation 20. Ushers them into a scene of judgment. For the Word of God declares here, the books are opened. The book of life is opened. And men are judged according to the things written in the books. It is a judgment scene. It is God who is on the throne. Not a sinner cursed God in his life. The oath has died away. And nobody remembers it. But it was imprinted in the book of God's remembrance. We may forget. But God doesn't. Imagine standing before the God of all the earth and looking into his face when he opens a book and there's the record. And it will be there. Oh, my friend, if you're lost, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to make you think you cannot escape God. He's the one person in the universe. You cannot escape. The young preacher that I knew years ago, he pastored 3 small churches in northern Lebanon County in Pennsylvania. I introduced him to Brother McNeil. His name was Fred Lowry. His father was a preacher. And I said to Fred one day, Fred, how were you saved? He said, I had an unusual experience. He said, I was lost. In World War II, I was a pilot in the Air Force, and I was sitting in the officers' club drinking with the other officers, Air Force officers, etc. And he said, it's a strange thing sitting at the bar. The subject of the Bible came up, and God, and in a strange way, the subject of the resurrection. And he said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I have to stand before God. He's the one person I cannot escape. It's easy to escape me. It's easy to escape other people. But there's one we cannot escape. We cannot escape God. And the first day of being raised again for the poor sinner, he has to face the judgment of God. But there's a third woe. With the judgment of God, there is damnation. For the lost, friends, it's a dreadful thing to live again. dreadful for the child of God. Blessed and holy is he who had part in the first resurrection. There's nothing but blessing ahead for the child of God. But for the lost, what a dreadful thing it is to be raised again. For the first day of being raised, he must stand before God at the judgment of the great white throne. And then, being judged and the sentence being pronounced, the terror of the punishment begins. And may I remind you this morning that when we think of a lost eternity, hell is a place where God is absent. God is not there. Hell is a place where there is never any sleep. No one ever sleeps in hell. Hell is a place where a drop of water is denied. Hell is a place where pleasure never breathes. Hell is a place where the gospel of Christ is denied. Hell is a place where the imagination cannot even imagine. So dreadful it is. And oh, let me tell you, there's a remedy. And the remedy this morning is a crucified Christ. We would lift him up before you. He's the only way out of hell. There isn't another. And he said in such simple words, "He that believeth on me shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." We lift up a Savior who died, who bore the judgment of sin at the cross, in order that poor sinners will never need to experience separation from God. And may I remind you that when our blessed Lord hung on the cross on Calvary's hill, he was separated from God. And out of the agony of his soul, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. And then he answers the question, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And the holiness of God demands the justice of God. And we would lift up a crucified Christ. When I think of lifting up a crucified Christ, I think of the two that were crucified with him. Two thieves. They both were near the Savior. They both railed on the Savior. They were both alike sinners, but the one turned and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And our Lord answered him, "Verily today thou shalt be with me in paradise, and I can enter into Copper's hymn and sing the dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." Oh, friends, when I read the Word of God, I'm thrilled with the message of the gospel. We don't need to be envious of the wicked, friends. God has provided priority for us. The second death has no power whatsoever. We're going to reign with Christ. This is the end for the child of God. But for the person who's wicked, who dies without Christ, who dies like the one thief did, without repenting, he's lost. He was just as near to the Savior as the other. And you may be sitting beside of someone this morning who's saved. You're in the same building. You hear the same message. So near, and yet so far away. Why not come to Christ today? Oh, today's a day of salvation. Don't be like Pharaoh. Today is the accepted time. I thank God for the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord. The scripture says, The devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Devout men. I had a lady who died in one of my Bible classes. Before she died, she had been in a rest home for about 5 years. She didn't know anybody. And some dear Christians would go to visit her. They didn't know. She didn't know she was there. They were there. And the day that she was buried, it rained. I mean, it rained. And I had an umbrella, and there's a German lady jumped out of her car. Mr. McNeil knows who I'm speaking about. She didn't have an umbrella, and she got under mine. And, well, the umbrella wasn't wide enough for both of us, I'll tell you that. But after the graveside service, I said to her, Erica, do you know why I came today? She said, no. I said, she didn't know I was here. She didn't know when people visited her in the rest home. But I came today because godly men carried Stephen to his burial. This was a godly woman we're going to meet at the resurrection of the just. Oh, what the coming of the Lord holds for us. But if you're outside of Christ, it holds for you nothing but woe. And we invite you to come to the Savior who died that you might live and that you might know His presence. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. I'd love to sit with an open Bible and talk with you. One thing and we're through. I'd rather be a failure at that which is sure to succeed than to be a success at that which is sure to fail. This world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where do you stand, my friend? We invite you to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we now commend to thee this company of thine own. You know who is yours and who is not. You know who, were they to die now, would be at the judgment called the second death, or would be at that first resurrection that is called blessed and holy. For you distinguish between those that are yours and they that are not. And we ask you to work in each of us through the gospel and sweetly draw to yourself in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.